Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Bill Giuliani here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. So we are at a very special day today. Today is Palm Sunday. And always an exciting time of year. It's the beginning of Holy Week. Palm Sunday itself has pretty deep meaning. It has pretty deep implications. And like everything else, it is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It's a fulfillment of everything that is in Torah and everything that is in the prophets and is in the writings. In other words, all of the Tanakh, which is the word for the Old Testament. It's not really a word. It's an acronym. The T stands for Torah. The N stands for Nevi'im, which are the prophets. And the K stands for Ketuvim, which means the writings. And since Hebrew doesn't have any vowels, you can pretty much put whatever vowels you want in, but it's a set pronunciation, and it's Tanakh. So that covers that is the entire Old Testament. So most of the time in the church, we don't stop to think about the Old Testament roots of things, and I would hope that you would know from Torah the story of the Passover in the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, of course, means going out. And we take the Greek word Exodus. In Hebrew, the name of the book is Shemot, which means the names, because it starts out with the names of all the relatives of Jacob that went into Egypt. But in any event, that's not the important part of this. The important part of this is, if you know the Passover story from the book of Exodus, you know that God gave Moses very specific instructions of how the people were going to be delivered from Egypt, how the people were going to be delivered from slavery. And the main part of those instructions were that they were to get a lamb, a male lamb that had no blemishes, was a perfect lamb. The lamb was to be kept in your house for 4 days, and then the lamb was to be slaughtered. And when the lamb was slaughtered, the blood of that lamb was put on the doorposts of your house. Then the rest of the lamb was roasted and was eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. That's kind of the basic story of the Passover, as you know. And many traditions were added to the Passover, what's called the Seder meal. Seder is a word that means order. And the telling of the story is the Haggadah, which means the telling. And so, very important night. And it led to deliverance. It led to freedom from slavery. It's a festival of freedom. And we know that this prefigured what happened on the cross. Because Jesus, as the perfect, unblemished sacrifice, his blood is applied to us because it was shed for forgiveness. And like the people who had the blood of the lamb on their door, didn't suffer the curse. If we have the blood of Jesus over our door, or over our heart, so to speak, we don't suffer the curse that has to do with our sin and rebellion. So that's kind of the summary of Passover. And of course, we're going to talk more about that next weekend. This year on the calendar, Holy Week, Good Friday, Resurrection Day are about 3 weeks earlier than the Jewish celebration of the Passover because of the difference of calendars. We use a solar calendar. They use a lunar calendar. So things don't always line up. This year, they're very far apart. But we're, as Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, I think it is, we can't worry about days and certain days at certain seasons all the time. The important thing is the concept, the basis, the foundation of all these things. So we're going to talk about Palm Sunday since today is Palm Sunday. And what better to do what better day to do a radio show on Palm Sunday than on Palm Sunday, so to speak. Now, you may or may not be aware of this, but if you know me, you know I'm going to go to the Old Testament roots, the roots from the Tanakh of what we're talking about. And in order to go to the roots of Palm Sunday, we have to go to the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the 12 minor prophets. He wrote in the 500s BC. And in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, we see a very interesting passage. Zechariah has really a lot of awesome passages. And if you've never read Zechariah, I would urge you to read it for your homework at some point. But in Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's Zechariah 9, 9. 500 years or so before the event that we call Palm Sunday. Pretty amazing. So what do we have here? This is the approach of Messiah into the city. This is the approach of the king into the holy city. This is the approach of the king coming into the city of the king. Remember, in Psalm 2, it says, "I have placed my king on the holy hill of Zion." God places his king on the holy hill of Zion. Well, the king is going to come into the city. Now, kings generally didn't ride on donkeys. Kings generally had royal carriages with white horses surrounded by soldiers, people blowing trumpets. But this is a king who's coming on a donkey. And not only a donkey, but a baby donkey. The foal of a donkey. So after a long wait, the king is coming to you, Zion. The Messiah is coming to you. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for centuries and centuries, all through Torah, all through the prophets, all through the writings, all through the struggles of the people at all times of their history, waiting for the Messiah. Now he's coming. And he's riding on a donkey, a service animal, not a military animal, not an animal of prestige and honor and grandeur, but a service animal. So Palm Sunday, it's in all four Gospels. And of course, it happens at an appointed time. The day that it happens, as we're going to see in a minute, is very, very important to the whole structure of Passover, the whole structure of the blood sacrifice, and the whole history of salvation. And everything that God does is at appointed times. You know his feast days. If you've never studied the feasts of Israel, which are actually the feast of the Lord, they're sometimes called the feast of Israel, but they're the feast of the Lord. There's seven of them, and their times are very specifically commanded to the day, sometimes literally to the hour. So this happens at a certain time. And it has to be that day that this is going to happen, as we're going to see. So we're going to go to John's Gospel. We're going to go to John chapter 12. You can go to any of the four, but let's do John chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." So John goes and quotes directly from this passage from Zechariah that we quoted at the beginning. The king has authority and he has power. Remember, later on, he's going to say to the apostles, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." He has all authority in heaven and earth. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes that everything is created by him and through him and for him. He holds the whole universe together. Everything subsists in him. But he emptied himself and became a servant. He emptied himself and came into his own city, the place where he had put his name. The Temple Mount is the holiest place on earth because God says, "This is where I put my name." It never says in the Bible God put his name anywhere else, but his name is there. So he comes into his city on a service animal as a servant. He had emptied himself. This was the only time Jesus rode, the only time Jesus was ever in a procession. He never at any other time was in a procession. But this was not the procession for a king. No trumpets, no regalia, no horses, no chariots. A baby animal, a colt of an animal of service. Well, that's awesome considering he's coming into the city for his last Passover. He's coming into the city for the Passover, which all the other Passovers pointed to, which all the other feasts, all the other passages in Torah and in the prophets pointed to. This was just about to happen. And, of course, as he says, as we know, and as he says to Pilate even, his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is outside of this world. You know, Paul points out in Philippians, the very end of chapter 3, I think it is, the very end of chapter 3, Paul says our citizenship is not in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just here for a while. We're passing through. This is not our citizenship. Well, he has a kingdom, capital K, which is not of this world. This world is part of the kingdom. And you could say the kingdom is here. The kingdom is not completely here, but the kingdom is here. But he has a kingdom that's not of this world. And the passages in Isaiah 53, actually 52 and 53, but primarily chapter 53, are about to be fulfilled in the next few days. And this, of course, was the suffering servant. And if you read Isaiah 53, we're not going to do that, but it's an unbelievable passage that talks about someone being smitten, being crushed for our iniquities, being killed for our sins and our transgressions. All the iniquity and sin of the world was put on this person. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we're healed. Isaiah 53 is such a powerful passage that it's called the suffering servant, the suffering Messiah. And then it goes on to say that kings will be startled by him. Starts out talking about a man who's brutalized, horribly tortured, killed because he's crushed for everyone's iniquity. We saw someone, it says, we saw him and we thought of him as smitten by God because he was crushed, he was beaten. But Isaiah points out that that happened because of our sin. And he was, in fact, in a way, smitten by God, because this is how the wrath of God was satisfied. So there's the concept of the suffering servant. There's also many places in the Tanakh that talks about a triumphant Messiah, the Lion of Judah. And so Isaiah adds this, that kings are going to be startled by this. Kings wouldn't be startled by some guy who was being executed, but they're going to be startled by the Lion of Judah. So his second coming is going to be much different than his first. Many of the rabbis concluded there were going to be two messiahs, a suffering messiah and a triumphant messiah. Well, we know the truth of that. We know that there was, in fact, a suffering messiah that, like the Passover lamb in Egypt, led us out of slavery, led us out of the slavery to sin that we all have, delivers us from that. But then we also know that he's a triumphant lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as Jacob points out in his blessing to his sons in Genesis 49, and this whole concept through the book of Revelation of the Lion of Judah. So he's the suffering servant, and he's the Lion of Judah. And when you look at this whole Palm Sunday account, there's very little preparation that's made. Jesus says to those guys, we're not going to read every gospel, but he says, you know, go in the village, you'll find a colt, you know, untie him. If anybody says anything, say the master needs him. All of this was prepared before creation. And even though scripture tells us so much detail about so many things, we get very little information about the preparation for this. Very little. So what was going on that day? This was a Sunday. Passover that year was Friday, the day that we call Good Friday, the day of the sacrifice of the lamb, the day of the blood being shed. But when you read the account of how to prepare for Passover, you know that the lamb that's going to be sacrificed, number one, has to be acceptable because it has to be unblemished. And you have to keep the lamb at your house for 4 days. So on that particular day, you had to have a lamb at your house by sundown. So this was sometime in April. Maybe it was the year 33, maybe it was 32, maybe it was 30. We don't know exactly. But sundown at that time of year is probably about 6 p.m., there's no daylight saving time like we have now. So before, say, 5 or 6 p.m. that evening, that day, you had to have a lamb at your house that was going to be the Passover sacrifice. So it was the day that you went to buy a lamb. If you lived in Jerusalem, you didn't have flocks of sheep. You didn't have lambs at your disposal. You had to buy a lamb. So on that Sunday afternoon, you would go and look at all the lambs for sale and buy one that was acceptable and be to your house by sundown in order to keep the law. Now, if you didn't know if a lamb was acceptable and you couldn't always tell, you had to have a priest come and approve it. So one thing to think about that will totally blow your mind, so to speak, is if you had a question, can I use this lamb for Passover? is this lamb okay for the sacrifice? I'm not sure. I think it's okay. And a priest, a Levitical priest, would come and say, well, yes, it's fine. You can use this one. Or, oh, no, look, it has a crooked, there's something crooked on his left ankle. Can't use that one because it has to be a perfect lamb, because the lamb, capital L, is the perfect lamb. He has no sin. He has no blemish. He has no impurities. He has no imperfection. And this is what the lamb in Exodus was prefiguring, that Messiah would be the acceptable, only acceptable sacrifice and would have no blemish. So the human Levitical priests, the religious people of the time, were judging the physical animal lambs to say which one was acceptable and which one was not. But they rejected the true lamb that was coming into the city. They rejected the true lamb that was there for the ultimate sacrifice, which was once for all, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us. They rejected the true lamb, but they were judging all the animals. They were judging the real lambs. So to fulfill what was going to happen Friday, the lamb has to come into the city on Sunday afternoon. Pretty amazing. So the city is supposed to shout and rejoice because he's bringing salvation with him. And they cry out, Hosanna, which means come and save us. So when they said Hosanna, or when they said Hosanna to the Son of David, they were saying, you are the Messiah, come and save us. And it says that they went and cut down palm branches, just like you do at the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And you wave the branches and praise God on the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, they did this on Palm Sunday. So they waved palm branches at him. So they were praising him. This is what got the Pharisees mad, because that's reserved only for God. Jesus doesn't say, stop doing that, because I'm a man just like you. He accepts their praise. Just like in many parts of the New Testament, it says people worshiped him. He doesn't say, stop that. I'm a man just like you. I'm a creature just like you. He accepts their praise. This got the religious leaders mad. Plus, they were calling him by the messianic title. Matthew says in 21:9, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's from Psalm 118, verse 26. Luke says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So the evangelists are connecting this event not only to Zechariah 9:9, but to Psalm 18. He's coming in the name of the Lord. And you praise him because he's coming in the name of the Lord. And the religious leaders, Luke tells us, the religious leaders said, Rabbi, make them stop that. Luke tells us this in chapter 19. Because they feel Jesus as a Jewish man, and they knew he was a rabbi, shouldn't be accepting this. He should know better, and the people should know better. But he gives them an amazing answer in verse 40. This is Luke 19, verse 40. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. So if the people didn't praise him, the stones were going to praise him. That day was reserved for the king to come into the city, be praised and honored, which is the waving of the palm branches, and for the people to acknowledge that he's the son of David and he's there to save them, like the prophet Zechariah said. Whew, I know the music's been playing. So that's Palm Sunday. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you've had an awesome Palm Sunday. And join us next week where we're going to talk about Resurrection Day. Have an awesome Holy Week.